Good morning, everyone. Greetings, each one, in Jesus' name this morning. Beautiful day to worship. You can turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I want to study that chapter this morning. The more I got into it, the more stuff was coming out at me, and I think if I would call Leray up on a Saturday and tell him that I need another week to study, I think he'd say, just share what you got. So, the title this morning is Life is Just Not Fair. And talking to a customer this week that was telling me that. He was thinking about the Mennonites, how they work together when there's a need, and he really would like to have that, and just different things that he brought up, and I thought, well, just see here what we can find. And then I went to Ecclesiastes 11, is 9 verse 11 was the verse I was thinking of, but we're just going to do try to hit every verse here. Ecclesiastes 9, I'm going to read the whole chapter at this time. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hands of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked and to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. And is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart, while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also, their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is the portion in this life, and in the labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and a few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built a great bulwark, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. This morning, just thinking about life is just not fair. If life was fair, you would have to be on the cross. So I think here, Solomon, if you're looking for happiness this morning, I think he has some advice for us, Solomon does. We see in the previous chapters, the first seven or so, it explains a lot of the frustrations in life. And in this chapter here, it tells us how to find happiness in spite of all the disappointments that we might be facing. Verse 1 there, the righteous, the wise, and their works are all in God's hands. No person, righteous or wicked, it says they didn't know if hatred or love lies ahead. Only God knows the future. I think it's saying there, man does not know the future, doesn't know what lies ahead. Verse 2 there, death is the fate of everyone unless the Lord comes back. It says the righteous and the wicked are going to die. The good and the bad are going to die. It says the clean and the unclean. The religious and the non-religious, they're all going to die. The good man and the sinner is going to die. The person who takes an oath and the one who fears taking oaths, they're all going to die. The beginning here, it's kind of a little more of a negative, but it's reality. And I believe here Solomon was getting to the end of his life. And I believe he had some regrets that he had in his life, because Solomon wasn't perfect. He had prideful ways, carnal ways. No matter what we do or fail to do, we are all facing a head-on collision with death. It could be a sudden death, speedy death, or it could be a gradual slow down and bump into death gently. We cannot swerve and miss the grave. I believe it's what it's telling us there in the first couple of verses. Verse 3. Remember Solomon, he could only see what we can see for today. He couldn't see ahead. He could only see life under the sun, he says it here. We die because we are guilty of sin, guilty of immorality, guilty of violence. That's why some people are very careful to be good. Instead, verse 3, they choose their own mad course, says in verse 3 there. Verse 4, only the living have hope for enjoyment and reward. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. Think about all that is communicated in this word hope. Something to look forward to, you're alive. Another day to live, more time remaining. More to experience or do. Opportunities to do something that will be rewarded. Additional pleasures to enjoy. Additional good deeds to perform. All because we are alive. This morning, your heart is beating. That's hope. The unbeating heart have no hope. There in 4, Solomon mentions it about the proverb there, a common proverb to express his point. A living dog is better than a dead lion. I was reading up a little bit on that. In today's dogs are perhaps the most dearly loved of all animals. For today, after all, the dog is a man's best friend. But in Solomon's day, dogs were despised. And lions were crowned the king of beasts. So two animals to illustrate his point. It's better to be a living dog, the poorest, weakest creature, than to be a dead lion, the richest, strongest of creatures. When considering only life on earth, what he's saying there, it's better to be alive than dead. Because when you're alive, there's hope. There's hope to change when you're alive. Go to verse 5. Time has run out for those who died. Verse 5. They cannot come back and choose a different destiny for eternity. I believe he wants us to learn in that verse. We that are living need to prepare for death. We need to live our lives with eternity in view. And also in verse 5 there it talks about the dead are soon forgotten. So no matter how wealthy or power or famous you are, we are soon forgotten. The meaning of their lives fade from the minds of succeeding generations. Verse 6 says, the dead no longer experience or have part in anything. They can't envy, they can't hate, they can't love. I believe what Solomon is saying there is seize every opportunity while you can. Time is short. Jesus conquered death, the name above every name. Jesus, he makes the difference for each one of us. Verse 7. I think there he is saying, enjoy life. Acknowledge God as a giver of life. You see the beginning of these verses, life is unpredictable, death is certain. But I believe Solomon wanted his readers to enjoy life while they have it. Remember, each day is a gift of God. I like how he starts verse 7, go thy way. Go. Don't walk around sad-faced and depressed. Don't sit around and lament what you can't do. Don't stand around idle because you're not sure what will happen next. Some people are paralyzed by fear of what could go wrong, but they miss much of life. I think he's saying, go enjoy each day that God gives you. I believe Solomon here is saying that the best things in life are free. And also in Solomon's day, mealtime was one of the highlights of the day, and I'm sure it is for you as well. Two of life's basic needs happen around the table, eating and drinking. And hearing about each other's trials and triumphs. In 1 Kings, King Solomon sat down to a daily feast. Also, I believe that there was some evidence that Solomon didn't always enjoy it. In Proverbs 15:17, it says, better a meal of vegetables where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Proverbs talks about better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feastings with strife. So I believe Solomon knew what it was like to have strife. And the dry crust sounds pretty dry, but when you're really enjoying your time with your family and everything's going good, you don't even think about it. But if there's strife, the steak don't taste near as good as well. The most important thing on any menu should be a family that loves each other. For love turns any ordinary meal into a banquet. Verse 8. In Old Testament times, it says, let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. In the Old Testament times, when there was grieving, they wore soiled, torn clothing and poured ashes on their head. And, of course, we all know there's time for grieving. There's always, you have your friends die, family, friends. There's time to wear black clothing, sign of mourning. Here he's saying white clothes is a celebration. I believe he's saying here, wear your finest clothes and your best cologne or perfume. Every day should be a special day. The white clothes and oil speaks of a happy life. White in the scripture is a symbol of holiness and purity, and oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, live joyfully with thy wife whom thou lovest. Very good reminder for each one of us. It's easy to just to live with your wife. Maybe we need to have more joy. Put more joy into your marriage. I know I could put more joy into my marriage, in our relationship. God designed marriage for husbands and wives, complete enjoyment, emotionally, socially, spiritually, and physically. Then going to verse 10, pretty common verse 4 is, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. So earlier on in these verses, he gives three solid guidelines where happiness is found. The one was meals with the loved ones, ordinary day-to-day occasions. That's where happiness is found, and also in a committed marriage. And then here would be the fourth one. Happiness can be found in your work and activities. I believe it's saying we should find a real measure of joy in what we do for a living. Your hand, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, your hand speaks of abilities. With all your might speaks of energy. I believe he is saying here we should work energetically and give your best effort. Because in this life only can we work and plan and gain wisdom and knowledge. In verse 11, abilities are not a guarantee of success. More counsel here from Solomon. Something I believe that he observed in his life. Things don't always turn out the way we expect them to. He gave five illustrations in this verse. The fastest runner does not always win the race. The most powerful army does not always prevail in the battle. The wise person does not always make an adequate living. The smartest person does not always get rich. The highest skilled person may not work under favorable circumstances. There's a lot in that verse. An athlete may have an injury. In the last leg of his race, he might have an injury where he can't win. A car accident can paralyze a person for life. Cancer or a stroke can leave a person incapacitated. The economy may fail just as a person's business is about to gain grounds. Life just doesn't seem fair. It says at the end of the verse, time and chance, we have no control what happens to them all there in the last part of verse 11. In verse 12, he likens it to a fish in a net. You know, a fish is just swimming around trying to find food. Fish hook or spear or bow. Fish doesn't know, understand what happened. It's how it can be with us. No matter how careful we are and how hard we work, unexpected events can affect your success. Now, verse 13 to 16, it's talking about this little poor, wise man. It was a small city, was under attack by a powerful king, and it was caught by surprise and totally unprepared. It would be like the town would be like a helpless rabbit pounced upon a hungry dog. However, there was a poor man, but a wise man, who suggested a brilliant military strategy, and the city was saved. You would think surely that he would be rewarded for his wisdom. It says here, the man's wisdom was more valuable than all the weapons and warriors of the powerful king. But it says in verse 16, this poor man's wisdom was despised. It was forgotten. Doesn't seem very fair. Verse 17, wise words spoken quietly are more powerful than the shouts of the foolish. Verse 18 there, it says, wisdom is powerful, but one sinner can counteract much of the good that the wise do. This morning, if we expect life to be fair, we will be in for a shocking disappointment. I think what Solomon was saying here is, we see the immediate circumstances while God sees the eternal plan. Our ultimate security is found in Christ, not in the outcome of our earthly endeavors. Don't wait for some things to get easier. Don't wait for things to get easier, simpler, or better. Life will always be complicated. Learn to be happy right now. Otherwise, you will run out of time. I think Solomon has some advice here for us. Don't worry about the outcome of your efforts. You cannot predict or control what will happen. Do your best at everything in life, enjoy life to the fullest, and leave the results to God. Let's kneel for prayer.